Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak library, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the BBP, Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Paul Leonard Jr. and Jim Mozarski, your Bengals beat writers, Cincinnati.com, and the Cincinnati Inquirer. We are back from beautiful Green Bay.
Yeah.
Jim's, the prodigal son, returned to Green. You were the man of the hour.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody wanted to come shake your hand. Yep. It was like you were running for office.
Roses and cheese curds strewn before me. Yes. Links of brats hung around my neck.
Yeah.
It was slices of ham placed upon my head. It was magical, beautiful, and cherry coke was flowing.
Cherry coke was flowing. On a boat. We were living that boat life.
Yeah,
that was pretty. That was a good time.
I had to treat the Inquirer, the strong Inquirer crew.
Yes.
Some Milwaukee River boating, and then some Lake Michigan boating.
And in case you're wondering, when the crew rolls up, Jim takes the wheel of the boat.
Yeah.
Wearing the captain's armband. That's with pride. Right. It was the official captain of this road trip. And you're like, you know what? I can drive a boat.
Yeah.
I'm a boat guy.
I did it.
You did. Driving boat. There was some treacherous wake.
Yeah.
At times.
We are filming. We are recording this podcast. So we are alive. And back.
We made it. We made it. It was a beautiful day. It was hot.
Yeah.
But then it was cool because we were on the water.
That is true.
Yeah. So it was good. I gotta credit you on that. You guys put on a good show in Milwaukee, and then obviously head to Green Bay for the game, and Bengals look better. And then they lose again.
Yeah.
This time in overtime to Aaron Rodgers, who did Aaron Rodgers things at the end of the game. 27-24 Packers and OT on a little chip shot field goal, but the game basically came to an end on a 72-yard connection between Rodgers and new superstar Geronimo Allison,
right?
Who broke free behind Adam Jones in the secondary and then broke a tackle, George Iloka, and ran all the way down, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
A touchdown was scored.
Yeah.
Two of them.
Yeah.
So we could our long national nightmare could end there. Let's do this. We got some stuff for you. We got a lot to dive into. The Bengals are 0-3. That's not good, by the way. they've got the potential for rock bottom disaster. Pitchforks are out.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, if the worst case scenario. I wrote out in the opener that this is the darkest timeline. And what happens in the darkest timeline is you lose in Cleveland, and it's complete anarchy.
Yeah, you don't want anarchy.
We have a week to get into that.
Yeah.
Let's get into the fallout from Green Bay, because there's really a lot of nuance to what happened in this game and some context. So offense, defense, and the big picture we want to get into. We want to get into
the player protests,
yeah,
and how that was handled, and the vibe from the team before, during, and after that went down. And so we want to get into that. We're going to get into that later. Let's start with football. Okay, this offense. I do think you can take a silver lining from this game on the offensive side of the football. Bill Lazor was effective in play calling for the most part.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton looked better than he yes. has the first 2 weeks. That wouldn't be hard to do, but he did have a
you 120. Wanted to see it.
There he wasn't perfect. There were plays he certainly missed, and sacks he shouldn't have taken, and deep balls he needed to throw more accurately. But, you know, I think it's a little bit, that was a little bit more of Andy Dalton that you're used to.
Yeah.
124 rating, you know.
77% completion percentage.
Yeah. I mean,
no turnovers.
No turnovers, couple of touchdowns.
Yeah.
2 for 2 in the red zone without
woes.
Tyler. Red zone woes, no woes. Woeless.
You're an apologist.
I know, right?
We're apologists.
AJ Green said, give me the damn ball. The Bengals fed the crap out of him.
Yeah.
He had 11 receptions for 111 yards. He had a bunch.
it was something like
there
that.
There were a lot.
Yeah.
It's been a long day, folks.
Yeah.
We should really pre-warn you. That was a long drive back. That was a longer drive back than I anticipated.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that anything in my brain is working correctly right now. So I'm just going to – that's a forewarning. Yet, because with this team, there's always got to be a but.
Yep.
But when they needed a play, when they needed one more first down, when they needed one more throw, when they needed one more block –
one more field goal to go through the uprights.
One more field goal. They couldn't do it.
No.
They couldn't finish. Despite all the good,
yep.
They come away with a critical loss, one that they put themselves in a bad position to need a win. And that's where they were. That's where they're at. It was a tough place to go win. They probably played well enough to do it, but they could not finish. And it's that is just getting old. But the silver lining, I do think, is that there's some encouragement there with this offense, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's like you said, Paul. I mean, it literally could not be worse. I mean, they had 6 turnovers, no touchdowns, 9 points in 2 weeks. No, I mean, no yards per average anywhere, offense, rushing, passing. AJ Green's mad. Tyler Eifert's hurt. I mean, what did I say? Dead cat bounces. I think, you know, maybe the cat wasn't dead. It bounced and kind of landed wobbly on its feet. You know, all right? You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't land on its feet the first time, but then on the bounce, you're like, oh, it's still alive. So I think there is something there for the offense for sure. I thought, hey, look, Bill Lazor was very brief in his reintroduction to us as OC last week. All he said, quarterback, running back in rhythm, and Andy Dalton, you know, Bill Lazor told us on Monday, in the version of tempo being under 2.5 seconds release time, Andy Dalton, very good. There was that tempo. There was that rhythm. PFF backed that up with some stats saying Andy was great in that sort of situation. Joe Mixon, 18 carries, yards per attempt were not really there, but he was clearly going to be the workhorse, going to be the guy to salt away the game late until he fell down.
Yep.
You know? So I think that early modest goal of Bill Lazor was met. We saw it. Curious to see what it looks like in Cleveland when everyone's trusting the process.
Yeah. Trust the process.
Yeah. So yeah. I had to slip it in there.
Had to slip that in there.
Yeah.
I think it was clear what his goal was, and that was involve 18, involve 28.
Yes.
It needed to be focusing on Mixon and on AJ Green. Those, you know, you talked a lot last week about what is this team's identity going to be on offense. Yeah. Was a big part of the push, and, yeah. and Bill admitted that with us on Monday, basically, that was teaching mentality of what we're going to be was a huge part of his yeah. first week plus on the job, and it was pretty clear they're going to be AJ Green and Joe yeah. Mixon and not afraid to run the ball more than they threw it yeah. and put a game away on the road on the ground.
And they almost did it.
They almost did it. They were doing it.
They were doing it from their own six.
Yeah.
Everything about that, when it started, you're like, oh, this is bad. Mm-hmm. Three and out. A-Ron at the midfield.
Yeah.
And it wasn't going that way.
No.
Honestly, when they lined up in that I formation, I was a little surprised it was C.J. Uzomah in front of Joe Mixon on third and one. But, Paul, honestly, I thought it's going to him, and he's getting three.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to start watching the timeout factor. Yeah.
Timeouts and the clock. And one more, you know, at that point, one more first down after that, and you start talking about it's pretty much over.
Right.
It's knee time.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's just it with this team. For a year, for 19 games.
Yeah.
Ever since the world flipped on its head against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
This team has been a play short. And a we should have been,
yeah.
or we were close, or whatever it is, from doing great things. That win would have been such a game changer. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, both lose.
Yeah.
Bengals go into Green Bay.
Yeah.
Take on Aaron Rodgers, offense revitalized, finishes the game, get the win. The kids play well. Man, you're one game back now.
Yeah.
You got Cleveland next week, Buffalo after that, and a bye. Now you're like, man, you made the change you needed to do. You erased everything. Woo!
Yeah.
And then, no. And then Joe Mixon slips. Have you ever, we were talking about this on Drive Up. I can't recall seeing a running back just be in the position to start his run and then just fall.
Right. Even Marvin couldn't believe it post-game, and he couldn't believe it Monday either.
Yeah.
He's like, how many times has he done that going back to the start of his life playing football?
And he just slips.
Yeah.
And falls. I mean, I just can't even... You can't make that stuff up. How does that happen?
Yeah.
And you can't convert there, and then... So, you know what happens when you can't convert there? Oh, here you go, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go do your thing. And Aaron Rodgers went and did his thing. He created. He improvised. He dropped dimes.
Right.
He took advantage of mistakes. He did it all. And so, I don't know. I do think that this offense showed what it can be. And, you know, Andre Smith now playing some tackle. They're yeah. claiming due to the heat. I'm not buying a word yeah. of that. No, that's a rotation that is purposeful.
Yeah.
To make sure you know what you got. Because guess what? None of the other offensive linemen are rotating.
No.
So, keep Andre involved was a phrase that yeah. we heard. He needed to be out there. And so, and he honestly played better than the other two guys.
Yeah.
At both spots.
Yeah. Andre hasn't played left tackle in a long time.
And he went out there and was like, I mean, I can do this.
Right.
And so I would expect to see more of that going forward.
Put those dudes on notice.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, you have to. How long are you just going to sit there and let your quarterback get crushed and have to run, be on the run?
Yeah, anyways, so we'll see. Usually what cures a lot of this team's woes are the Browns. I mean, the Browns are a little bit different this year. Greg Williams is a little bit different in terms of what he does defensively. As we record this, we don't know if Myles Garrett will be on the field or not. But, you know, it's the Browns.
The Browns. We'll get
so there's that. Enough. Yeah, there's.
We'll get into that more. Yeah. One thing, we talked last week on the Deuce and elsewhere about – this week we would learn a lot about this defense, you know, because there was the yeah, but associated with Baltimore and freaking Houston.
Yeah, but.
How do you look against a real QB in a real offense in a real hostile environment? And they had their moments, and you saw where there's a lot happening there.
Yeah.
Carl Lawson in just destruction mode. Yes. 2.5 sacks, would have been 3.5 if not for the 12 men on the field penalty against William Jackson. Marv, really not happy with a lot of calls, apparently.
Yeah.
On Monday, said that there weren't enough blanks left on the sheet to turn into the league to question stuff. So he wasn't happy with a lot of the non-PI calls and the PI calls that there were. He said that basically the 12 men on the field was BS, gray area type of stuff. Yeah. Anyway, obviously there was some issues with some of those things, feeling of possibly of getting hosed, but they had plenty of opportunities to win anyway.
Right.
But Carl Lawson was destructive. Jordan Willis played pretty well. You're getting a lot out of your pass rush. Now, granted, it's three dreadful offensive lines they've gone against, but you're still getting a lot out of your pass rush.
Well, that's the thing you would hope, right? At the very least, when it's you have a strength versus a weakness, your strength wins.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. I mean, even on the...
Dominated.
And even on the, well, you know, aside...
Until the end.
Yeah, aside from the overtime play where really that was just a... I mean... But for even on the game-tying drive, Paul, I thought there was adequate pressure on Aaron Rodgers. He just did Aaron Rodgers things.
Yeah. He found ways to make plays.
Yeah.
Your young kids, I mean, Lawson, William Jackson III was rotated in with Adam Jones. You know, maybe that was a heat thing. Maybe that was the same thing as Honor Smith. Keep this kid involved.
Right.
William Jackson III did not play a single defensive snap against Houston.
Yeah.
And they think so highly of him. Yet there, and he played pretty well in the first game. And yet, you know, he's not out. So they gave him a chance in the rotation. And guess what? As soon as he comes in, the second ever pick six of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know, kind of says he baited him into a little bit. And he made him think that he wasn't going to jump it. And then Aaron threw it. And William jumped it, and he was gone. And that was what they bought. That's what they bought into when they drafted him. That's his skill set.
Right.
He's a playmaker. We talked about that all camp, all of our camp podcasts. Yeah. You can see the playmaking in him.
Yeah.
He's got that. That's what he is. And that's huge. This team needs more of that. And it damn near won him the game. The kids damn near won them a game. The kids could have been the story.
Yeah.
Of this game, if Joe Mixon doesn't slip, if the kid doesn't slip,
right?
You know,
or and you know, Marvin, and for that positive for William Jackson III, I mean, Marvin on Monday was like, well, he didn't do everything great. I mean, he was the 12th man on the field that negates a sack, and that was still in Bengals territory, but there is a difference between second and 11 and first and five, and you know. Again, kid, this didn't make our story, Cincinnati.com, but Ryan Glasgow, rookie, in on goal line, you know, he was supposed to get out in the coverage, and he says, I looked inside, and then it was over. He's like, that was the, he's like, I will never make that mistake again. He's like, I learned that that's the NFL. Like, my eyes went in, and it was done.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, he's on the field in that situation, and I would argue Ryan Glasgow snaps have helped Geno Atkins for 3 weeks. I don't, you know, Geno probably tell me, ask him in 10 years about that. But, you know, Darquez Denard, I think, has improved over the last, since Baltimore.
That was one of his best games.
You know, tackling even.
Yeah.
William tackled well. Carl Lawson, you're right, Paul. It was, I think you saw enough of the flash. But again, that's not the hard part of being a young team, though, is you're going to get those moments
that bury you too.
Yeah,
as much as they almost got you the win, there were just a few of those mental mistakes that cost you.
Which you can't have your 10th year D lineman jumping off sides on third.
Yeah,
what's third down? See,
whatever it was,
you can't have your 10th year corner like 9 yards behind on a vertical. Like you know, there's some of that stuff. Two, where you need your vets to make up for it. Now, obviously, the mix and slip, that's just a no-win situation. But I'm sure earlier in that drive, you know, Andy or whomever will say, you know, we could have added a yard here or there and not been in that third and one situation. So, you know, but Marvin has said, he said Sunday night and then and Monday, our margin for error is so thin right now. This isn't like 2015.
Yeah.
Where they're just kind of rolling. People. Yeah. Like they need to be. And we talk about this with the defense, Paul. The offense, yeah, but
yeah,
it's so hard to be perfect. But when you're on that thin line of, at this point, 6-10 versus 10-6, you know.
Yeah.
You got to be.
And, you know, yesterday there was going to be a test for the secondary, and it was the kids making the plays. It was Denard and Jackson making the plays that kept you in it, that caught your eye, and it was Jones and Kirkpatrick not making the plays right, that burnt you. And we just heard all week about how next time it's the players – and next time, those players should be looking around and wondering who's going to be next to them, because it's not going to be the coach next time. It's going to be the players. I wonder how much that's backed up.
Yeah.
How much more of William Jackson will we see? Right. Will we see Adam Jones or Drake or Patrick cut back more of a rotation? Will we see William Jackson take over a starting role?
Right.
Did he earn enough of that? Now, granted, he wasn't perfect, but I'm curious about that because – you know, we saw a lot of Carl Lawson. Now, that was the first game where you had a team where you were in nickel most of the day.
Right.
But we saw a ton of Carl Lawson because he's been earning it. And Nick Vigil has played every snap. He's the only guy in defense to play every snap.
Yeah.
You know, that's what this season was about. This season was about how fast can these young kids come along to make this not be a stepping stone to next year, but actually make something of this year? Because this team, when you're so young like this, and you have so many guys that are kind of figuring it out, it feels more like a team built for 2018 than it does a team for 2017. How quickly can they come along?
Right.
Well, clearly this changeover and this urgency is like, get the kids out there.
Right.
Marvin lamented in 2016, I wish we would have put those kids out there sooner. We might have had a better chance. He's not letting that happen this year.
Right.
For all the criticism that he takes of that, and it's been deserved over the course of his tenure here, he's clearly kind of gone the other direction of it this year with saying all these kids are going to go play, and they are. I think that's good for the direction of the team. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That was my number one takeaway from Green Bay. I think for the big picture direction of this franchise and of this team and this roster formation, I thought that was a really big day because a lot of them had a lot of success and you saw what it can look like.
Yeah.
That's where I think the encouragement comes from.
Yeah.
But that's not what Paul Downer Jr. would say.
No.
So let me get to more of that, where the other side comes. Bengals are 0-3 now, and it's pretty much over. I hate to break it to you. You can't go 0-3.
No, I mean, I didn't do the math, because, like, if only 10% of teams since 2006,
three teams total since 1990. The last one to start 0-3 and make the playoffs, the 98 Buffalo Bills.
Wow.
98.
Bills haven't been back since.
But that's a long time.
Yeah. that is a long
time. We're getting really close to 20 years, two decades.
Yeah, it's just not. Look, we said this in the season preview stuff. This early part of the schedule, you know, the team needed to be 2-1. One and two have at least one victory through the first 3 weeks, and then can kind of
need to be 3-2 at the bye for sure.
And, obviously that's not going to happen now. So yeah, mathematically it's difficult. So what are you playing for? And I think you're right, Paul. It's you got to get these guys, these young guys going, and you know that's not a good answer, and that's not an acceptable answer for the veterans on this team. You know, they're not playing for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you're 31, 30, 31, 32, depending on the eight. You know what I mean? Like, so for them, they have to hold on to hope of, you know, of a run, of a streak of some kind.
And I think, you know, if you're looking into a little historical context, I wrote about this a little bit in the walkthrough on Monday. 2003, the Bengals start 0-3, Marvin's first year. Then they go to Cleveland and play Buffalo the next 2 weeks and then had a bye. Oddly, weird NFL parallels. They went on to reel off 6 of 7. That was one of the more beloved Bengals teams because it was Marvin's first year. There was energy. Yeah. They Chad guaranteed a victory against Kansas City, and they did it, and Peter Warwick did things, and it was like this whole young, emerging, new, fresh thing. And I think you could – so a lot of things I just talked about, you could talk about here. That's what they need, though. You have to go on a ridiculous run.
Yeah. Which isn't unheard of in today's NFL. I mean,
no.
You know, the 0-3 part is the is a problem for sure, especially 0-2 in the conference. But we've seen teams streak. Now, whether what the end result of that is, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we've seen enough from this defense to think it could get streaky with Vontaze Burfict coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, I don't know yet if we could say, oh, they're going to, you know, put up 30 each of the next 2-3 weeks or whatever it may be.
Green Bay had a lot of guys hurt.
Yeah. You know.
I mean, that was they were really battered on defense.
Playing mostly dime.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there were some advantages the Bengals didn't care, you know. So, books, jury's still out on that. But, yeah.
But anyway, I think you can, if you're looking for encouragement, but, I mean, the numbers are bad. The numbers are not in your favor. You just can't dig holes like that. And you're forcing yourself now to need to sweep Pittsburgh or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you're at. I mean, Baltimore could be trash.
Baltimore is trash.
I mean, they just lost more guys than Jack.
By years? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Rashawn Simon is going to be playing for the Ravens New Year's Eve.
Oh, man, the Pride of Vancouver? Come on, dog.
Yeah, I dropped the Rashawn Simon eyes.
Simon eyes on him.
Tebow's going to be. Tebow be out there.
I just mean, you know. I mean, the North could be garbage.
Dude, the Steelers lost. That was
the Bears.
I'm not even going to. You know what? I'm going to go in on the AFC North tomorrow or Tuesday in a walkthrough.
Yeah.
This division's terrible.
Yeah,
I'm going really bad.
You're going there.
Yeah.
You've decided.
Yeah. It's bad.
It is bad.
8-8 can win a division.
It could win a division.
I'm going there. And that's the thing. Honestly, like, because I've not been a believer of trust the process or the Ravens. And sorry, Mike, keep the three-way on the way to 8 wins up there in Pittsburgh.
You
don't go into Chicago and lose this, to Mike Glennon, dude.
Yes, you do. Pittsburgh does this every year.
They do that.
They do this
every year.
They win. They win games against teams that they're not supposed to beat.
Here's
the
thing.
Guess what? Lose the Bears.
Guess what? Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland, teams that they should win, go 6-0 against, 3-3,
potentially.
Because they'll be favored in all those games.
Yes,
and then they're gonna, you know. Ben will get hurt for three games. I'm just saying. This division's terrible.
This division is terrible. You know what else could be terrible? This team, if they lose to Cleveland.
Well, yeah, that's...
Yeah. You know how we joke about must wins? Must.
Yeah, that's kind of one, yeah.
I mean, we had this argument. Like, honestly, the loser of Sunday's game is probably not coming back next year. Like, it might be like the cincher. Maybe like the cincher. I mean, because the Browns lose a couple games against better teams, and then they play the lowly Colts and Jacoby Brissett and can't win. And then if they were to lose to the winless Bengals and then potentially lose to the Jets after that, I mean, the Haslams are just going to be like, I'm done with the process.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyway, we will get into that on the deuce.
Yeah, that's...
We'll get into that on the deuce. I didn't do any of the sound I was going to do. We got off track. I told you, I didn't know what to expect in this podcast. My brain's barely working.
It's all right.
We've been on the road. We're not sleeping enough. Times are tough. Times are tough. So we're...
You need some laser cats in your life.
I do. We'll get laser cats in the deuce.
Thundercats.
Dude, man, Optimistic Bobby was so excited during the first half. His Twitter was fire. If you're not following at Bobby Slatter, you should be, because the Laser Cats gifts were, he had them all ready to rock.
Yeah.
They were, the Laser Cats were fired off. Let's do this. We gotta give out our Jolly Plumbing Jack of All Trades Player of the Game. So this is for the guy who put in an honest, hard day of work, doesn't ask for accolades, just like they do at Jolly Plumbing. So today we have our three nominees for the Jolly Plumbing Jack of All Trades Player of the Game. We had Josh Shaw, Kevin Huber, and Andre Smith are our three nominees.
Yeah.
You can go vote for that at the Jolly Plumbing website, jollyplumbing.com. In my opinion, Josh Shaw in there because he came in. It's like, hey, go play safety. Guys were just going down left and right. Went in there. He does what he does that, though.
Yeah.
Plays, he had some big plays on teams, some really nice plays on special teams. So a nice all-around day for him that we probably haven't talked enough about.
Yeah,
how his versatility continues to help this team. Kevin Huber had a nice day punting. No one ever likes to talk about punts because they're too busy yelling about how the quarterback sucks every time the punter comes out. He had a nice little day punting. And then Andre Smith, who we discussed earlier, coming in, playing left tackle for the first time since, like, what, early college? And then coming playing right tackle, hadn't played all year, switching back and forth. That's not necessarily easy to do. So that's it. And so who do you pick?
I am going to go with Andre Smith, just because it's, you know, look, he's a veteran. He was signed here to play guard. Didn't play at all for 2 weeks. 3 weeks go back to the fourth. Oh, I think he did play in the fourth preseason game, didn't he? Well, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, and hey, on the road, there's 80,000. You're switching left, right tackle, having to hear the snap. I mean, kind of all those intricacies and things. And as Bill Lazor said on Monday, he did not have to think about his tackles. And that's, I mean, to me, that says I don't see how you could vote anywhere else.
Yep. I'm with you on that. So Andre Smith, winner of our Jolly Plumbing Jack of All Trades Player of the Game. Jolly Plumbing, the honest choice for your plumbing needs. Let's bring in a little bit of Andre Smith sound. So here's him talking about his injection into the Bengals offense.
I mean, I know you did left side in Washington. You played left way, like in the past.
I won the Allen on the left side, so I mean, I should have to do it somewhere.
But again, I mean, there's a difference though, right? I mean, from like game speed, and now it's been a couple weeks.
Early on, you know, with the timing and whatnot, but now I feel really
comfortable. Okay. Does that help me? I mean, is that one of those situations where because you have this many years in the league, that it's that being asked to do that is a little easier for you to handle?
You know, it wasn't as difficult as I thought it would be initially, with Marvin and Max and me to do that. But once I got started doing it in training camp, I just got more comfortable. And like I said, over time, this being my ninth year, watching Link Worth do it for all those years, he do it on the right side. So kind of have the mindset of what it needs to look like.
Right.
Understand it.
When was the last time you ever did that in a game?
Never. I've never done that in a game.
I was going to say, usually, right?
Yeah, like you on the right side. Right, right, right. So, or on the left side in preseason. So it was good, though. I think I did really well.
Yeah. What was, but not only to do it in a game, but then on the road at that place with 80,000.
Yelling to the top of their lungs, right?
Right. So, again, do you lean back on just, I mean, you know Andy, you know the offense, and you know these guys. Is that a part of
being comfortable? Makes it a lot easier than what it'd be if I didn't know the ball. But me knowing the nuances of the offense made the transition.
So are you, I know you guys are all competitors and whatnot, but I mean, is this, if Marvin and Paul A decide, hey, this worked and this is what we're going to do, I mean, are you feeling that? Are you in terms of?
Look, I'm gonna just be a good soldier.
Yeah.
Whatever Marvin wants me to do, whatever I got, that's what I'm gonna do. So whatever it is.
I would imagine it's good too, with all the kind of change you guys in flux and have to answer questions about coordinators or whatever. I know the end result wasn't what you wanted, but to be in the mix, and then you guys, at, you know, score touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And getting the scoring position, I imagine, felt pretty good, too.
It felt great, you know, see that touchdown with AJ in the first drive, you know. Guys were clicking, we were boom, 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 boom down the field, and just to see that, know that we could do it, you know, because you always had in the back of your head, we haven't scored out yet. Just to do it was really good feeling.
Okay, there was Andre Smith. Let's move on to, you know, this turned into a very eventful weekend. You know, on the field, a lot transpired for this Bengals team.
Yeah.
And then off of it, across the league, so much transpired. And, you know, I don't know how much people want to hear about this stuff, honestly. Yeah. But I think it's important because, you know, the NFL is just very much in the spotlight with this. And these players who typically, I think, have always been viewed by fans as sort of faceless warriors. They wear helmets. I don't know who they are. I cheer for you because you have this color helmet or because you're on my fantasy team or whatever.
Right.
And that's how they, you know, that's how we like you. It's kind of always the way it's been. They're gladiators, right? And it's not really a huge personality league.
Right.
The league's trying to get away from that a little bit, but it hasn't been. And now with this in particular, more so this weekend, more than ever that I can ever remember in the NFL, who these guys are as beliefs, as what they care about, as how they view things politically, is at the forefront. People are looking to these guys to see what their opinions are. Now, that may turn you off as a viewer of football. Okay. Maybe it does. But that is something very interesting and important, consequential for these guys and for this league. And the Bengals handled it the way, I think, in a way that you could have probably predicted.
Yeah.
They linked arms. Not all did. No one kneeled. No one has kneeled here ever during this whole process. They've very much always pushed team, and it's about football here.
Yeah, it's a job.
Yeah, that's been the message over and over again. We haven't seen anything, but they decided this weekend they weren't going to do nothing.
Yeah, and I think, to me, Paul, that's almost, and I don't mean to minimize what was said on Friday that led to this over the weekend. But if a person made the Cincinnati Bengals under Marvin Lewis feel the need to do anything on a football field, you know it's gotten to a certain place. Because these are all very conscious guys with who think about this stuff and are very thoughtful, and they act in the community. And that was Marvin Lewis's message and Vinnie Ray's message. And I'm sure all these other players too, where they do foundational work, they do charity work, they get out into town in Cincinnati, in their hometowns. That's where they're about, you know. You know, Marvin Lewis is be about something. Mm-hmm. Use the platform.
Yeah.
He encourages that outside of the building.
Yes.
And most of them do. So it was just, and Vinnie Ray said it, Paul, he's like, we're not political. We come here to work. But, you know, we just felt some things were said that we needed to show, regardless of skin color, religious beliefs, political beliefs, none of that mattered, you know. So we're all together. And, yeah, you're right. It's probably the most benign of all of the demonstrations this weekend. But for them, it was a big deal.
Yeah. And now you have some other teams coming out, and you're hearing rumblings of it didn't go well. And
right.
Ben Roethlisberger's just statement saying he didn't like what Pittsburgh did.
Right.
Where they ended up with just Alejandro Villanueva standing by himself in the tunnel.
Right.
You know, teams tried to stay in the locker room. Some of them were like, we want to stay in the locker room, but it's too long of a walk. We can get out there with Oakland. I mean, they're just, everybody handled it in a different way. And I think the Bengals, I mean, this was a big week for them.
Right.
Football wise.
Yeah.
They didn't need a distraction, if we're going to call it that,
right,
from football, and they treated it that way as if that would be a distraction. Right. Let's handle this. And Marvin Lucero is proud of the way players handled it. The interesting thing, you know, every owner and team was issuing statements.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You just can't just say every statement, oh, these are good. You know, everybody taking a stand. We're not going to take these divisive comments.
Yeah.
And this, that, and the other. The Bengals statement was a team statement, not a Mike Brown owner statement, but Cincinnati Bengals team statement. Quote, football and politics don't mix easily. Fans come to NFL games to watch great competition on the playing field, and that's where our focus should be. That is basically it's basically no comment.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
Not willing to say anything or get involved. And as the statements kept coming in and they were more powerful and then fewer teams had said nothing.
Some owners were on the field with their players.
I joked to you. I said, this is like when I'm at the owners' meetings and the vote comes back 31-1 and I know what I've got to do next. You know, it's a, you just know.
Yeah.
It's just, you, it's, that's what you get.
Yep. Mike's Mike.
Mike's Mike.
And I know it wasn't attributed to him. And it,
no, but that comes from.
But that's Katie and, you know, they don't, this team, again, like Marvin Lewis, they're about football. And yet, you know, some national people were kind of putting the Bengals in their crosshairs, and that's fine. We weren't surprised. I mean, we're just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, easy things hard.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, they're about, like Marshawn, they're about that action, boss.
That action, boss. They just wanted to see a touchdown.
Exactly.
They didn't care.
That's what, to me, when I read that statement, it's like, we just want to score a touchdown and win a game in 2017.
2017. That's it. We care about nothing else. We're
this
sick
group
of watching
was
this
like,
team lose.
If this group had went all Jags on everybody and dropped 84 points in two games and 8 passing touchdowns and looking like a world beater. Maybe it went a little different,
but it
did. I didn't mean to bring that up. I'm sorry.
No,
but no, you're. I mean, I, you know, I very serious topic. I, you know, we'll see. I'm sure Marvin will not want any more demonstrations going forward. But obviously,
for that weekend,
outside
it's different.
Outside circumstances may have his team wish to continue.
Mm-hmm.
But. It was interesting. So some of the guys here, we'll hear from AJ Green, Vinny Ray, and then Russell Bodine, who was one of the players who chose not to link arms, instead just have his baseball cap over his heart. There's several players who did not do that, and he explains, at least for him, why that was the case. Randy Bullock agreed with that sort of statement, which is why Randy didn't link arms. So I would imagine that kind of goes for the rest of the guys as well with that.
Here's Vinny Ray, or AJ Green, Vinny Ray, and then Russell Bodine.
What was kind of the thought process on you guys coming together, making it this way?
You know, as a leader, we're a family. We wanted to do everything together. We didn't want to single anybody out. We didn't want anybody to do anything on their own. So we decided to lock arms because, you know, we're a family here. One thing about sports, you know, we have a platform. Some people choose to kneel, some people not. We lock arms. But whatever we're doing, we did it together. We can't let someone's words divide us. You know, we got to show the world that no matter what your background or your color, skin of your color, that we can come on as one and stand as one. So that's what we did today. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Just start of the game, Marvin said, he's like, look, things put you guys in a tough position and you guys wanted this to be unified. What was the, kind of walking through a little bit, what happened there and the discussion and the decision?
Yes, before the game, we just wanted to be unified as a team. You know, we're not political. We come here to do a job, you know. But we wanted to show that as a team, we stand with each other. We stand with Cincinnati, you know. And we just wanted to do that. That was just something that some of us on the team felt compelled to do. Some didn't. And it's totally okay if you don't feel so. It's totally okay if you do, you know. But that was just a moment we had. We wanted to show that we were united as a team. And at Cincinnati, as an organization, we all united. As a city as well.
Thank you. Post-game, Marvin did say, he's like, look, pre-game, he's like, we were put in kind of a tough spot. And we made a decision to do what we did with the anthem and link arms or not link arms. What was kind of, where were you at with that, and how did you feel? I know you and TJ kind of did your normal routine. What was that like for you guys in that process?
You know, I felt like for me that was, you know, the best thing to do was just to keep doing what I had been doing. You know, go out there and... you know, enjoy the anthem the way we've been doing it. Obviously, I support my teammates. Definitely have the right to do that, and you know, obviously they chose to do that, and it's well within their right. You know, I support them. I'm gonna go out there and play with them just like I would any other time. It doesn't have anything to do with it. You know, we're all a team here. We're all wearing the same jersey. We're all looking for the same things, and you know what? There's nothing to that.
That's kind of what I was.
Okay, so there's that. We kind of covered that. Let's move on. God, you mentioned the Jags. Now you got me all sad. People have been asking what's going on with
they
the Jags
have.
Bet this year.
We've gone 3 weeks, and you have yet to mention what's so jaggy.
I felt uncomfortable because I did something that I wasn't going to do. And it's all happening like I knew it yes. would. I knew they'd screw me. It's happening. So... For those that don't know, the sad hashtag that's so jaggy, I, of course, had very friendly bets with Local 12's Richard Skidder, constantly betting on the Jags to go over their win totals for the year, that they were going to do it.
Yeah.
They were going to
go.
You
were pro-Jag.
Pro-Jag.
For years.
I mean, I was team Jags are doing it the right way. They were building it. They were drafting well and acquiring talent, and I didn't know Blake Bortles was going to hate me personally as a human and had all these high hopes to the point that – but after last year, I couldn't I got – like, I had to really have a stern talk with Chris Smith about this.
Which was great.
But yeah, I was like, Chris, what happened in 2015? You guys had 5 wins. And 3 weeks to go get the 6th, five and a half was the number. I need one more win. He's like, I know, man. I know. We need it. He's trying to explain it away. He owed me. He owed me.
Yeah.
But I was just I was really in a bad way, and I said, they're dead to me. Jags dead to me, in every way, shape, and form. No way am I touching them again.
And we egged you all off season, all camp,
but
trying to
guys,
get you.
You chipped away. You kept chipping, and finally, when Skinny and I sat down as all bets were being resolved this year, and we planned last year and we planned this year's, I just, for the highest comedic value, I had to go to the other side. I had to go on the other side, even though I knew, and I've been calling this, the moment I hop on the other side of this wagon, it's going to take off, and they're going to be the greatest team. It's going to be like, you know, the 99 Rams or something out of nowhere. Greatest show on turf. We're going to give them nicknames and crap. Here they are. 44-7 over the Ravens in London. Blowing out the Texans on opening day. They got to get over 6.5 wins, and they've got 2 already.
Yep.
Blake Bortles looks like he's, you know.
And it was looking good through camp, too, man. Through the preseason, QB controversy.
Oh, yeah. I thought Chad Henne was going to come in.
Players grumbling about having to actually practice in camp. Kickers missing field goals. Long snappers getting hurt.
Doug Marrone.
Yeah. then you
now here they are. Looking great. Of course. Oh, I'm just, just beside myself. So it's backfiring. It's all backfiring on me. It's all just... So now there's a whole new meaning behind that so jaggy. The only thing that's here's the thing. The real meaning behind that so jaggy is the only thing that's jaggy about this is me.
Yeah, that's true.
And the only thing that's jaggy about this is me this whole time. Ugh. All right. So we gave you a little trip report earlier. Milwaukee, Green Bay was great. So update, because people were asking on Twitter about what the Cincinnati meal thing was at the Green Bay buffet. They did not do the chili.
No, they didn't.
Did you ever find out? I never saw anything.
No, I did not inquire. But honestly, I mean, I ain't afraid to say it. I wouldn't try to recreate what it is that they do here to call chili in Wisconsin. So
stop.
What else would you call identifiable Cincinnati food?
I didn't see anything.
There was pork, though. I guess, like, very subtle, they went pork for the carving stations. So, yeah. I mean, now that could be, like, super smart. And only,
I mean,
we would...
Porkopolis.
Yeah. So, I mean...
Maybe that's it.
Now, that could be, like, really smooth, like, next level.
That's deep.
That's deep. I noticed it.
Yes.
So...
Because the pork's not normal?
No.
That's not,
like,
a normal,
I mean, the carving stations could be anything. So, like I said, you know, like the one time, I mean, Kansas City, when they went in there one year, just sticks out to me because the barbecue was so good.
Yes.
So I just recall, you know, things like that representing other towns. I'm sure there's been ham before. You know
sure
what
has.
I mean?
Sure
but so I don't know. Maybe I'm giving too much credit.
So we don't really have quite the answer to that. I didn't see it. They didn't do the chili, though, which I think is the one thing, the question that was up in the air, are they going to try to do that?
They did not.
They did not to answer everybody's questions on that one. What made you mad? Anything make you mad?
All right. There were many things.
There were
so many things. But you know what? I'm going to play off of some angry Twitter people who could not believe that I said the offense played well enough for the Bengals to win. How could you how on earth could you say that if you cover the NFL for a living? I could not possibly respond with what I wanted to. So all I said was, well, the earth must be flat. So then
Kyrie.
So then, man, my man B.O.B. wants to send satellites into space to prove the earth is round. So he's trying to raise money. So the B.O.B. satellite can go up into space because he does not believe all the other satellites that have been in space that show the earth is round. Man, it almost makes me want to, like, delete my B.O.B. off iTunes. I won't. I won't. But, I mean, come on, man. That's making me mad.
I understand.
That's making me mad. It's just... What?
All right. Are you a flat earth truther?
No.
No?
No. I mean, B.O.B. did make one of my favorite songs about things with Lil Wayne called Strange Clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And I think B.O.B. is, like, really existing in some strange clouds that are affecting his... mental abilities.
I'm sending satellites.
Yeah. So, like, I kind of, like, on one hand, I'm sure you're listening to this, be like, dude, Jim, B.O.B. is already in space. <He's>, and I could believe that.
Yes.
But B.O.B. making me mad.
Making you mad.
Yeah.
Making
don't
mad.
Don't raise money to send a satellite to space. No, raise money for relief efforts.
Give it to hurricane relief.
Yeah. Raise money for relief efforts to the people who desperately need it, B.O.B.
Earth is round.
Trust me.
Trust us on this.
Yes.
You know what I'm happy about? Themed playlists. Because your wife came up with one of... I should have expected it, but I didn't. And when it hit me, it smacked me upside the head with happiness. Because we went on a boat. We went out on the pontoon boat. You had the captain's armband on. You were driving the pontoon boat around. We're enjoying a beautiful day. And then just the awesome boat playlist started rocking.
Yeah.
Kept rocking. Come Sail Away by Styx. Sailing by Christopher Cross. Rock the Boat. I'm on a Boat with T-Pain. Sail by AWOL Nation. River. Boat Drinks by Jimmy Buffett. Take Me to the River, which brought back some bad memories of my time at Kohl's when the Billy and Big Mouth Bass Stand was right across from where I worked. And that stupid fish kept singing, take me to the river, drop me in the water. But, I mean, there was just, the hits just kept on coming.
Yeah, it was
and
a good
I love
list.
A good themed playlist. It makes everybody happy. and it made me happy. So that's what made me happy this weekend.
Yeah.
So props to your wife for a great themed playlist.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you, BBP listeners. Do you have any of your favorite themed playlists for any parties that you've thrown? We just completed a really good one for the Canada party we had.
Yeah, that was pretty strong.
I mean, it was like 5.5 hours of Canadian music, which sounds like torture for some people. However, there's some good stuff in there. There's some good stuff in there. Don't forget about it. Let's wrap this. So Tuesday, Giovanni Bernard, Beyond the Stripes. So 7 o'clock, Holy Grail Banks. We'll be down there with Gio, one of our favorites. He's a friend of the podcast. Always love having him on, and he loves his fans. He loves to come out and interact and talk with people. And so if you want to come down and have a conversation with Gio, more than just a picture, you know, he's just a great guy to talk to and really enjoys that type of interaction. So come on down and do that. Remember last year at Hofbrau House, he came early. He thought it was at 6 instead of 7. And so he just, because he came early, he just walked around to anybody in a Bengals, anything he could find, and just started like chatting them up. Like he was the one that was there to see them. It was incredible. He was like, oh, I might as well use this time to go meet everybody and say hello. And what, I mean, just like, what other player would do that? It was just,
Gio great. For mayor at that point.
I think it was. So it was great. So come on down. 7 o'clock, Holy Grail Banks. We'll be down there. BTS. The Deuce will be back later this week. We'll have Optimistic Bobby's reaction to Laser Cats and much, much more. So check back in then. Until then, you got anything else?
Nah.
No, that's it. We're out of here. We'll talk to you later.